The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Today is a day for all of us to choose hope, to allow it to leap off the trees of our lives like the radiant leaves of autumn. Isn't it amazing that God gave the leaves their most radiant colors in the time of their life that takes the most courage? Choosing hope takes courage and faith, and our intentional letting go of our fears is the only way to let these three words, hope, courage, and faith, have the power God has always wanted them to have in our lives and in our hearts. What I know about fear is that it can only keep us small and isolated. And yet it is there because, quite frankly, we have been hurt sometime in the past when it didn't go so well. And our present experience brings it back to life in this hard memory, connects with the future. Some of you have been courageous enough to share those fears with me directly, and some in my presence with others. It's all part of a time of transition. Sharing our fears actually takes the power out of them and lets your heart let some of the light of Christ in. Hiding our fears or denying them, especially from those who need to hear them, can keep the entire community unknowingly living in fear at some level. Today, we are given some brilliant, important transitional wisdom from the wisdom of Ben Sirach. He says, give to the Most High as he has given to you. And as generously as you can afford. For the Lord is the one who repays, and he will repay you sevenfold. These are words that were spoken in the centuries between the writings of the Hebrew scripture and the birth of Christ. It was a time of darkness and struggle, which makes this request even more important in the community of God. To be generous, one must have hope. Where is it that we find our hope in our journey of faith? I believe that hope requires a kind of social courage that Jesus shows us in all his words and actions. Courage is living from the heart. The word comes from the French word for heart. And Jesus lives his life and his faith through the community that surrounds him, just as we do. He journeys to the temple as a faithful Jew. But he also spends lots of time around tables and speaking in large groups of people and all that time with his disciples. And there's a conversation in each one of those places that goes on, and an understanding that grows. These are times of conversation that demand faith, hope, and charity. In our collect this morning, we asked God to increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. Charity is a deeper form of generosity, I think. It adds social concern and conscience. And it calls out for compassion, loving kindness, and wholeheartedness. It has no place in it for selfishness or self-righteousness. We have to make that good distinction between self-righteousness, no, and righteousness, yes. It is the fullness of joy, willing to sacrifice and make possible the dream of God for all of you in this 200-year moment. This is generational fullness of joy and time. If we stand right here and each one of you think of the oldest member of your family that you actually knew and when that person's birthday was, and then you think of the youngest person in your family and then project to perhaps their lifespan, let's give it 100. That is what, that usually represents about 150 to 250 years. And that makes this a 200-year moment. We bring all of that into this moment. This is what we call generation to generation. And it's truly a time of joy and fulfillment. In fact, our psalm used this phrase, "Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way." Every transition, no matter what, is a pilgrim's way. Pilgrims begin because there is no other way forward. And they begin with faith. But they must get to hope in order to climb over the obstacles they will meet along the way. Hope is forged by past experiences, but also, I believe, by our curiosity and sense of wonder of where God is calling us to next as Christians. There is intentionality and persistence needed, a willingness to tell the truth transparently and to always be open to mercy, mercy from God and from each other. Pilgrims are also seekers of new life, whereas Psalm 85 says, "Peace and justice will kiss." Trust and mercy will have their day. They are seeking a new way to be home together. I have traveled with you for this past year. I have heard so many holy stories from you all. I have heard such longing, which is always a glimpse into the hope and social courage needed to see the journey through. And I have grown with you. I am not the same person who arrived here a year ago. And neither are any of you. We have grown together. Engagement with the human spirit and the Holy Spirit is always a challenge and a blessing. So let me tell you one more story. It's a story written by the poet Rumi about walnuts. a man was walking down the road and happened upon a walnut tree hanging out over a pond. He climbed the tree and started to drop the walnuts one by one into the pond. He did this because he loved the liquid musical sound the walnut made when it hit the water. After a while, a more sensible man came by and called up to the man in the tree saying, "Hey, buddy, you're going about this all wrong. By the time you climb down from that tree, all the walnuts will be gone, sunk to the bottom of the pond where you can't get at them." And the man in the tree only smiled and said, "But I'm not in it for the walnuts." We live in a goal-oriented world. And yes, honorable goals are important. But a well-lived life is not a goal we arrive at, but found in the poetry of the moments we embody and live into wholeheartedly. It's about the people we invite to sit down with us and the people who invite us to sit down with them. It's about listening to each other. This past year has been filled with those kinds of moments for me, because quite frankly, a transitional ministry minister is not in it for the walnuts. But to listen and watch the liquid musical sound all of you make as the body of Christ. And then to hold up a mirror so that you can see all of who you are and all of who you can become. These are looking glass moments. And ready or not, here you go into your next grace-filled adventure, and it will be like no other adventure you have ever had. I promise. There will be moments of silence in which you will hear the musical liquid sound of the waters of your baptism calling you into a gathering of neighbors. Listening wholeheartedly, speak your truth with love for self and for others. Free your heart of the ballast of fears or judgment, and listen some more. So that, as John O'Donohue says, the compass of your soul might direct you towards the territories of spirit where you will discover more of your hidden life and the urgencies that deserve to claim you. So go forth and be claimed by your one wild and precious life together. Amen.